chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we find the Lord Jesus Christ preaching a message and talking to those that were there in front of him. I'm going to look at some things that the Lord said this morning and begin to read in verse 21. John chapter 8 and verse 21. In the verse it says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above." Jesus would not be the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Pensacola were he here today. They couldn't take it, what he was saying. It's too straight, too honest. And he said, "Ye are from beneath." I mean, that's your message for your congregation. Amen. I mean, you're from below, I am from above. "Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin the message today. And Father, we thank you today for sparing our lives and bringing us to another day. We look forward to your day each week and a time, Lord, when we can gather around the word of God, gather with your people and to sing praises unto thy name. And dear Lord, we thank you for the moments and the time that we've had to lift up your name in song. We thank you, God, for how our hearts have been blessed by the opportunity to worship and praise thee. And yet, Lord, we ask that the same Spirit of God that bore witness to our hearts in that song service would continue to move and work in this service today. Lord, I pray and plead that through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd wash my mind and my heart and my life, make it clean and pure in thy sight. God, I pray that you'd cast out of this building anything that's contrary to thee. Any devils, because I know they'll oppose the truth. Anybody or anything exalt theirself against thee, may they be cast down and cast aside. And God, for a few minutes, may you catch us up in the Spirit of God. Separate us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God, join us to thee that we might listen and listen to the Word of God, and it might feed our souls once again today. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you, God, for protecting our lives and taking care of us. We thank you for the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray today that this Word would do the work in the hearts of those that are here today. May you bless the message and bless the Word of God. May you speak to those that are here. May the message that's preached be accepted. May the Word of God work effectively in their hearts. And God, I pray if there's any here lost today that's never been saved, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. I pray that you'd show them their need of Jesus Christ, their need of being saved. And may today be their day of salvation. Lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalt the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit of God draw people unto thee today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 8, we find the Lord Jesus Christ preaching one of the harder messages that he preached. We don't look this morning at that portion of Scripture that was as hard. But later on, the Lord Jesus Christ lets those people know in no uncertain terms who they are. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil," and preaches to them the message that God has called him to preach. Here in John 8, he addresses the people who are asking questions of him. And of course, not asking questions so they could learn, but asking so they could try to trip him up or try to confuse him. You know, when you ask a question, you don't always ask a question to try to get an answer. You ever notice that? I know that from being around school a long time. Some people ask questions to try to show how much they know. And believe us, we're very little impressed by how much you know. Some ask questions so they can try to confuse or confound their teacher. And if you're asking questions to confuse or confound this teacher here, it won't take you long to do that. And then there's some that ask questions who sincerely want to know something from the Lord. But the Lord, thank God, knows the thoughts and intents of a man. He looks down in their heart and sees what they're really trying to ask or say. And then the Lord speaks the message to them. And as he preached this message, he told them about dying in their sins and not going, and saying that he himself was the Son of Man. And then when he come to verse 29, I want you to look at it again. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And notice the last part of this verse. For I do always those things that please him. This morning I want to bring a message on who are you trying to please. Who are you trying to please? Whether we thought about it or not, we spend much of our life trying to please people that are around us. A lot of things that we do are dependent upon who we're trying to please and who we're trying to satisfy. A lot of the things that we wear tries to show who we're trying to please and who we're trying to satisfy. A lot of the things that we think, some of the things we buy, our attitudes, our opinions, our thoughts, our very life is dictated by who we're trying to please in this life. I wish that I could say and mean it from my heart, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him. I wish that I could say this morning that I do always the things that please my Father above. I can't say it with an honest confession, and if you're honest, you could not say it either. But I believe the trouble with a lot of the Lord's people and a lot of people in this world today is they're trying to please the wrong set of people and the wrong crowd and the wrong group, and that gets them into more trouble than they'd ever realize. Young people try to please their peers and their fellow students and people around them, and they get in trouble because they try to please them. Now, the world thinks that you and I should do things a different way than what God thinks we should do them. When we try to please other people other than him, that's when we get in trouble. Now, for a few minutes, I want to talk about who are you trying to please. I have only 2 points, but don't get excited. It'll take me a long time to say them. Amen. Number one, who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to please? Who is it that you and I should try to please in our life? Some may say it goes without saying, but I'll say it nonetheless, that if you're saved, you're to seek to please God in all you do. Over and over again, the Bible verifies to you and I, to our own master, we stand or fall. And we that are saved are to seek by our lives, by our actions, by our thoughts, and by our deeds, we are to seek to please God in all that we do. The one that we're to please is none other than God himself. We're not to be worried about what people think. We're to be worried about what God thinks. We're not to be worried about what man says. We're to be worried about what God said. Somebody will quickly jump up and say, have you never read 1 Corinthians 7? Several times. And it says that if you're married, you seek to please your wife. If you're a husband, you don't. Your wife seek to please your husband. And Paul said, I seek to please all men and all things. That's right. But let me tell you that if you're pleasing God and doing what you ought to be doing, then you'll be treating your wife the way you ought to be treating her. If you're living for God and doing what you ought to be doing for him, then you'll be treating your husband as God wanted you to treat him. If you're trying to win lost people to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're doing something that pleases God and satisfies him. Who are we to please? We're to please none other than God himself. That's a good guideline for everything that we do in our Christian life. That'll answer a lot of questions that are brought up in the Christian life. That'll settle a lot of disputes that come up. And all you have to do is ask yourself, if I do this, will it please God or will it not please him? You see, stupid, it's not the question that everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it anyway. It's not saying, well, I saw so-and-so do it, and if they did it, I can do it too. Why, you little dumb thump, you got no better sense than to follow somebody that would jump right off a cliff or jump right into a lake and drown. It's not the question of everybody else's doing it. It's not I saw so-and-so and do it. It's not a little bit won't hurt me. It's not, well, is it really wrong? Can you give me one verse in the Bible that says that it's not right to do, that it's really wrong? Listen, all of those questions are avoiding the issue. All of those questions are but sidetracks for our mind and life. The question you have to solve and answer, is it pleasing to God? If I do it, will it please Him? If I say it, will it satisfy Him? If I go there, will it be all right with Him? If I fellowship with them, will it please Him? If I do this, if I say that, if I think this, is it pleasing in His sight? Brothers and sisters, we have but to determine one thing. Is it pleasing to God? The Bible said, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him before his, translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, isn't that the kind of testimony you want to have? That ought to be the kind of testimony that every child of God wants to have. And that is the testimony that he's pleasing God. A lot of people say, well, how can you live? How can you preach? How can you do a lot of the things you do? Because I'm trying to please but one person, and that's God Himself. That's what made the men of old the men that they were. That's what made them do the things that they did. That's what made them take a stand and live in the way that they lived. Brothers and sisters, we live in a day when one of the great problems of Christianity, that they're trying to please everybody but God Himself. We live in a day when preachers and churches trying to appease people, trying to please people, trying to satisfy people, trying to accommodate people. And listen, all of that has to be done to a certain extent, but not at the point of sacrificing anything and doing anything that doesn't please God Himself. We live in a day when there is a division in fundamental Christianity. There's a group of Christians that are as far removed as another group. Why? Because one group has the idea, don't rock the boat, don't make waves, speak positive, speak nice, be real, help people, do what you can, speak it, do all you can to accommodate people, and there's a division there. Why? Because preachers and churches are trying to please people more than they're trying to please God. Talked to a brother the other day, and he mentioned the church, and I won't mention a name, but if you'll ask me, I'll tell you, don't give a flip to me anyway. And he said, you know, didn't Dr. Ruckman used to go there? I said, yes, he sure did. He said, didn't he used to teach there? And said, yes, he sure did. Didn't he used to preach there? Yes, he sure did. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. That church made a move to a slick, smooth Christianity that is as far removed from the Bible as any Disneyland dream you ever heard of. They've got to a point where they don't want to please God, but they want to please man. They want to please the people that are there. The Bible said that the one that we're to please is God Himself. If you have the smile of God, you can expect the frown of men. The Bible said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. This ought to be our prayer. This ought to be the desire of our heart. This ought to be the seeking of our soul, living day by day, that we seek to please God more than anybody else. We ought to seek to please God more than ourselves. The Bible said that if we're saved in Romans 15:1, not to please ourselves. You know, the biggest problem that some of us have in pleasing God is that we'd rather please ourselves than please Him. We'd rather make ourselves happy than to make Him happy. We'd rather do what we think is right rather than to do what God thinks is right. We're to please God more than we're to please ourselves. We're to please God more than we please or seek to please any man on this earth. Paul said in the book of Galatians, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ."
When you come to a point in your life and you have to decide between people and God, take God. When you come to a point in your life when you have to decide between family and God, take God. When you come to a point in your life and you have to decide between fundamental Baptists or God, take God. When you come to a point and you have to decide between your friends and God, take God. Because he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. He that seeks to please God will be the one that does what God wants him to do. Who are we to please? We're to please God himself. The Bible said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. A preacher finished his message once, and after the message, a person came up to him and said, I didn't like that message. The preacher said, neither did the devil. So classify yourself, and I'll see you later. People say, how could anybody say anything like that? I'll tell you why, because he didn't preach that message to win the approval of that person. He preached that message to win the approval of an almighty God. Listen, don't you know by now you can't satisfy people? Don't you know by now that you can't satisfy everybody? The biggest fool and the biggest sucker that ever lived is somebody who tried to satisfy everybody. And the biggest fool as a preacher that ever lived is thinking he can satisfy and appease everybody. I have not to satisfy all of you this morning. I have but to satisfy one, God my Father. And if when I get done, what I've done pleases him, it'll be all right. Why, you couldn't please him. Some of you say, well, he hollers too much. And then if I whispered, you say, we ought to get a little louder. If I preached shorty, you'd say, what's wrong, Brother Jim? He backslid. He must not have had a message today, so he just kind of faked it. And if I'd have preached longer, some of you say, well, the older he gets, the longer it takes him to say anything. You couldn't satisfy some of you here. Some of you are too hot right now. I mean, you know, you're fanning yourself. And then some of the women sitting there, give me another shawl, man. I'm too cold. People are fickle. Human nature is fickle. You couldn't satisfy everybody if you tried to. Don't think you're going to. Don't make an attempt to. But fall on your knees before an almighty God and say, God, I want to please you. I want to satisfy you. And if I can win the approval of nobody or no organization or no group, God, what I do, I want it to please and satisfy you. Some of you can't understand why preachers do what they do. I'll tell you why, because they want to please God. They want to satisfy him. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't say that. No, that's why God told me to say it, because you wouldn't do it. Amen? Preacher one time was confronted by a group of preachers, and they said, we'd like to make you one of our group. They said, we believe you're really a good man. They said, we believe that you could really be a good representative of our group. They said, we believe that you can go a long way. Now, here's what we want you to do, and here's what we don't want you to do. You know what he said? He said, you can take your group and keep it. Because, he said, there ain't but one person that gives me my do's and don'ts, and that's God himself. In Westminster Abbey, there's a lot of people that are buried there and a lot of great memorials. There's one memorial to a man named Lord Lawrence, and it says he feared man so little because he feared God so much. Wasn't afraid of man because he feared God. He didn't think or care what man thought of him, but he feared God. Years ago, two men graduated from a college in the same class. Both of them had studied. Both of them had received their degree. Both of them went overseas to do duty. One went with a big oil company, and another that was saved went as a missionary. As time went by, the oil company needed somebody to help them in that foreign country. And this fellow thought of his friend who had graduated, knew he'd been a missionary, knew he'd been in that country all that time, knew the customs of the land, knew the way of the people, knew the language and everything, and said, I know just the guy to work and do this job. He's a friend of mine and we can get him. The guy said, go get him and pay him whatever he wants. This friend went to his friend that had graduated from college. He confronted him and he said, I'd like for you to come and work for our company. He said, we need a troubleshooter. We need a man to work for us. And said, we know that you're the man for the job. You know the people. You know the customs. The fellow said, no. He said, you don't understand. He said, I'm a missionary. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I can't work for your company. And the guy said, well, we'll pay you so much a week. And he said, no, it doesn't matter. And he said, we'll double that. And he said, no, it doesn't matter. He said, you just tell us what you've got to have and we'll pay you whatever you want to work for us. The missionary looked at him and he said, no, you just don't understand, my friend. The truth is, I am not for sale. One man who took his life and lived it for God, and he said, the truth is, I am not for sale. Raise us up some men and women in our age, Christian men who will not sell out at money or popularity or greed or to win the applause of people in this world today, but will live to please but one, and that's God Himself. Who are we to please? God. Point number two, how do you please Him? Now, that what you want to know? You got any sense, that's what you want to know. Say amen. If you don't know it, say amen. How do you please Him? If you're saved and have a desire to live for the Lord, you ought to want to please Him. I looked in the Bible and found a few ways that you could please God. Number one, you please God by preaching the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that's something that you can do to please God, is the foolishness of preaching. There's a certain sense where every one of us that are saved are called to preach. There's a sense where every one of us are saved, are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. You hear me? You want to please God? Do you? Don't you? Don't give a flip? Listen. If you want to please God, He's pleased by the foolishness of preaching. Boy, did you ever think about preaching, how foolish it is? Some guy just standing up here in front of all you people just shooting his mouth off. Do you ever think about how silly it really is? You know why a lot of the world look at it and say, I'm not going to church? Because it looks like a foolish thing to them. You stand on that street corner and preach, you look like a fool. You look like an idiot. You stand someplace and preach and nobody responds, you look like a fool. But God said it pleases me by the foolishness of preaching. If you want to please God, begin to preach. Listen, it's good to know that every time we stand before one sinner and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it pleases our God. Every time we declare freedom to those that are slaves. Every time that we declare light to those that are in darkness. Every time we declare forgiveness of sins to those that are held bound by sins. It pleases God. It satisfies God. I'm glad because I like to preach. I enjoy preaching. I love to preach. Amen. The more the better, the longer the better, the more that comes the better. It doesn't bother me at all. I look forward to the revivals we have, the camp meetings, whatever you want to call them. I look forward to the graduation. And I can just sit there and preach and preach and people just give it to me. But I'm glad that I can do something that pleases God. Pleases God when you preach. Whether it's to an individual, it pleases Him. Whether it's in a prison, it pleases Him. Whether it's in a rescue mission, it pleases Him. Whether it's in a nursing home, it pleases Him. Whether it's to 2 or 3 people or 3,000 people, it pleases Him. Now listen, that ought to give some of you young preachers a great deal of comfort. Because when you get out, the multitudes may not flock to your door. Some of you just think you'll get out and hang your sign, Dr. Doolittle, and here they'll come. Wait. It doesn't do you good to know that every time you preach, every time you open your mouth and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, it pleases God. You stand on a street corner, proclaim, what's it do? Pleases your Father. It satisfies and makes Him glad. Do you want to make Him glad? Then preach the gospel. Tell people how to be saved. When I was in Waycross, Georgia, those people have an opportunity over there that is just unreal. There's a mall that they go to every Friday or Saturday night at 10 o'clock. And the mall is closed except for a cinema, drive-in theater, and the whole place is full of nothing but young people. hundreds of cars, hundreds of people just milling and walking around. They have the opportunity to use a PA system. And you can take that PA and head it right toward that building, and it'll echo from one end of that mall to the other. It'll just resound from one end to the other. While we were there preaching, one little boy decided he wanted to get up and quote a verse of Scripture. So he got up there and grabbed that microphone, bless God, quoted a verse, got done quoting it, and preached for about 2 minutes. You know, people said, that's foolish, it's silly. Yeah, but it pleases God. There was a woman standing there. I'll tell you, she hadn't been saved long. She was so much full of the Lord and the things of the Lord, didn't know all the mess that was going on. I mean, she was so full of those things there, she said, can I get up there and say something? I said, you go right ahead. She said, well, women ain't supposed to preach, are they? I said, no, but give a testimony and lay her on. Amen. She picked up that microphone. She said, I want to tell you, just a few months ago, I was lost. I mean, to tell you, if women could be called to preach, she's going to be the first one to ever be called to preach. But I looked at that and looked at here, a group of people. Just a small group of God's people there preaching. Nobody hardly paying attention at times and walking by and mocking. But God looks over and he said, that kind of thing pleases me. It satisfies me. It makes me glad to see people that are not ashamed of my name, not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, whether it's one or two or three, whether it's a jail, a prison, a rescue mission, whether it's an individual or a group, those people will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God said it pleases me. Percy Ray, great preacher of days gone by, man who's grown up in years now, doesn't preach as much as he used to. He used to run that thing over in Myrtle, Mississippi, Camp Zion. A wild time over there. People running the aisles, swinging from the rafters and everything. You never seen such goings on in all your life. Some of you go over there, you'd think they were holiness or Pentecostal or something. That they used to have some good meetings. Bob Gray used to go over there and preach and have a good time in the Lord. Percy Ray was a portly man. That's a nice way of saying it. That'll be nice. And he was a big man. He wore a large man suit, in other words, you know. And the only thing I ever seen him wear was black double-vested suits. The old type of suit. And he'd get up there and preach, and I'll tell you, son, he could preach. He'd get up there and he'd be preaching, and sooner or later he'd come over to the side like this. When he'd come over like that, look out, hang on to your hide, because he's getting ready to get ripped right off, amen. I mean, he'd come over there and preach. He said one time during the war, he's on a train going somewhere. He said he was traveling to a meeting. He said two ladies came up to him and said, aren't you Percy Ray? He said, yes. He said, we'd love to hear you preach. He said, we've heard so much about you, we'd just love to hear you preach. And he said, I wrote down my name and address and that. And he said, here, right there, and you'll get a list of my meetings. I'm not sure exactly where I'm at or where I'll be in the future. But he said, you can get a list of those meetings that are there, and you'll be able to find out. And when I'm in your town, you'll be able to hear me preach. And he said, no. He said, we want to hear you preach right now. Right now. Said, we may never see you again, may never hear you. We want you to preach right now. Percy Ray said, I looked around. I didn't want to make a scene. Here I was on this train car going. All these people just sitting around. They didn't come to go to church. They came to go somewhere else. He said, well, I started thumbing around making excuses. He said, well, he said, I got my Bible packed away. The woman said, here, we got one right here. Said, well, we don't have no songbooks. Said, we done fixed that up because we got a box of them back here and the porter's going after them right now and going to bring them up here. Said, well, we need a singer or something. He said, we don't have no song leader. Said, oh, yes, we do. Said, we're traveling with the song leader of our church. He'll be in here in just a minute. Percy Ray, I said, I seen that there was going to be no way but to get out and preach. And he said, if you can imagine, here am I with two other women and this man standing up in a car and passing out song books to a bunch of people. And he said, now turn to so-and-so and let's all stand together and sing. And he said, that guy led a song like he was in church and got done and prayed and said, got finished there. And those two women that man introduced and said, we're glad to have Percy Ray here today in this train. He's going to come preach us a message. And he said, I had no other way out but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I finished. God said, give an invitation. He said, God, what do you mean give an invitation? He said, it didn't even church. I'm not even supposed to be doing this. What do you mean give an invitation here? He said, I done made a big enough fool out of myself. What do you want me to do? Look like a complete idiot. The Holy Spirit of God said, give an invitation. And we gave an invitation. When he did, two soldiers came forward, bowed down there in front of him, and received Jesus Christ. This one guy said, you'll never know it. He said, I was just ready to commit suicide.
I just sitting there in my seat in this train and said, God, if there is a God and there's something better than what I've got, show me. He said, no more had I said that than you stood up and began to preach. And the other young man said, I just got my orders. I'll be shipped out on the front line in combat. He said, I was afraid of dying. I knew I was going to die. And he said, I was sitting there in that seat and saying, God, if there's some way I can know for sure where I'm going when I die, show me! You know what? Maybe too many on the train didn't enjoy it. Maybe a lot of them thought he was just a complete idiot. And I'm sure it's nothing that was ever sent in to the sword of the Lord for a report. But God and the angels of heaven looked over and said, look at that guy, will you? Woo! I like it! I like it! It pleases him. It pleases him. It pleases his God when we preach. Not only that, the Bible said it pleases God when we walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No Christian living after the flesh pleases God. You want to please Him? Stop living after the flesh. You want to please God? Stop doing what the flesh tells you to do. You want to please God? Listen to the Spirit of God and not the flesh in your body. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, walk in that Spirit, then we'll be pleasing God and doing what God wants us to do. Now, some of you hear what I said? Did you hear it? See, trouble with you is you're trying to please the wrong person. The trouble with you is you don't give a flip what God says. The trouble with you is you don't care what God said. God said they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you live after the flesh to the dictates and the lust and the craving of this flesh, you do not please God. And the reason that doesn't mean anything to you is because you don't care whether you please God or not. It's nothing against Brother Jim. It's not me. It's you and God. That's who it is. And if you wanted to please God, you'd sit up and open your ears and hear what God had to say. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're to crucify this flesh. We're to mortify this flesh. We're to lay it down and let it die. Some of you are wasting your whole life running around serving a dead corpse. Some of you are wasting your whole life listening to the flesh. The flesh says, think this and you do it. It says, do that and you do it. It says, go here and do it. It says, I want that. I need that. I like it. So who are you trying to please? I mean, that's where the line is drawn, is it not? I mean, the main thing, the main issue is, who are you trying to please? God said that if you walk after the flesh, you'll not please God. There's a lot of men that got heaven on their tongue, but they got the world at the fingers. A lot of them talk a lot of sweet stuff. They talk real cream, real rich. But when it comes to living, it's just skim milk. You know what I mean? Jelly bean? Get it? You groove it? You with it? You got it? Yeah. You live in the flesh, you can't please God. Some of you don't care. Some of you don't care who says it or what says it. Don't worry about me. It's not me. I'm not trying to please you or trying to satisfy you. I don't have to give an account to you. I got to give an account to God. But I'm going to tell you something. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. You can't please Him. Trouble some of you is you want both. You want the flesh and the Spirit. You want the world and God. The Bible says ye can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. It's impossible to do. A Sunday school teacher told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. She told the story of the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, lived there in fine linen clothes. He died and went to hell. After that, she told the poor man Lazarus, who had the dogs come and lick his wounds, was sick. But he died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. When she finished, she was trying to draw a truth from the passage. She said, now, which of these men would you young boys like to be? One smart aleck raised his hand. He said, I'd like to be both of them. That's what he means. He said, I want to be the rich man while I'm living. And I want to be Lazarus when I die. You know what that Sunday school teacher said? Son, you can be one or the other, but you can't be both. That's what some of you want. You want to hold the world with this hand? You want to hold God with that? You want to hang on to the flesh and the cravings, and you want the Spirit of God and the blessings of God in your life, and you want to try to hold them both, and you cannot do it. No man can serve two masters. Please God by walking in the Spirit. Not only that, you please God by praising and thanking His name. The psalmist said in Psalm 69, I will praise the name of God with a song. We'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The psalmist said, this shall please God. What is it? Praising and thanking God. Now, some of you say, there's nothing I can do. You can do this. I mean, you've got enough sense, you can praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, you've got enough sense, you can praise His name for what He's done for you. It pleases Him. You want to please Him? Praise His name. It pleases Him. I think there's enough praising of man done that if we never praised another man the rest of our life, they'd have more praise than what they're worthy of. But do you really think you could praise God too much? You know, that's the theme song in heaven. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches and honor and power. The theme song in heaven is not how great man is and what strides he's made forward and achievements in life. Song in heaven is worthy is the Lamb praising His name. There's plenty of griping going on. There's plenty of complaining. There's plenty of murmuring, and there's more than what's needed of backbiting. Yes, thank you. The only groaning some of you make is not in prayer. You're walking around here at church shooting off your mouth to somebody. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about? Where do you read in the Bible that pleases God? I tell you, that pleases you and the devil. Groaning, complaining, just sitting there griping about what's going on. You come in, that ought to be a praise service. It ought to be a time of lifting up the Lord. I tell you, we could look at the black brethren and follow example in that instance. They know how to praise God. They know how to glorify God, and they may be messed up, but when they come there, they're going to do their best to praise God. Dumb thump white people just sit there and look around. Shout a little bit, but he's a fanatic. He's a radical. Listen, when I was in Bible school, went down to a black church. I think Brother Davis took me down there and preach. Man, they're buying a church. They didn't have nothing to set on, just old kegs and one thing and another, and up on the platform they had two crushed red velvet chairs. And we went to church, and this be a Dr. McGahee here tonight. And we, I'm so glad, and I got up and I said, take your Bible, and they said, amen. I mean, didn't even read a verse. I just said, take your Bible, and he said, amen. When I said, get your Bible, they got excited. I said, now tonight I'm going to preach on that. They said, glory to God. I said, you know the Bible said? They said, well, yeah, amen. I mean, they had a whole group of men over here that did nothing but was an amen section and a hallelujah. And if it got slowed down a little bit, they just said, yeah, amen, praise God. You said that a little bit nutty. Well, it may be. I wonder how much you praise God. I wonder how much time you spend praising Him. You want to please Him? Shut your mouth griping and complaining and begin to praise Him for what He's done. Praise in His name. When Haydn, the musician, was in the last years of his life, went to a place where they had performed one of his numbers that he had done called The Creation, Vienna Hall of Music. When he was there, that thing got carried away. And Haydn was a saved man, a Christian man, wrote a lot of music that was really some good music. Right in the midst of that, they came to a passage and there was light. And that's all. And there was light. those instruments began to play, and those people that were there realized there was light and that God was light, and in unison, without anybody to cue them or anything, they just stood in to their feet and began to praise God and began to clap their hands. And some of them began to look at Haydn and praise him and began to thank him. When he did, Haydn was too weak to stand, but he raised his hand for everybody to be silent. When he did, all he could say was, "Not me, but him. Not me, but him. Not me, but him." That's the kind of praise God wants from you and I. When we could take it for ourselves or get it for ourselves, we say, "No, not me, him. Praise him. Glorify him." Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? You tell God you're thankful. The Bible said, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." What is it? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God likes that better than a sacrifice. He likes it better than oxen. He likes it better than a lamb. And that's thanksgiving that is given to him. You say, "You want to please him? Begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for how you've taken care of me. Thank you for where you brought me from. Thank you what you're doing." You can find multitudes of things every day to thank him for. You ought to do it. You really want to please him? Begin to praise and thank him for what he's done. The Bible said that when we do and when we praise him, that is pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. A fellow took a guy to hear a preacher preach one night. He said, "This preacher is the most thankful man you've ever heard." And you know, you take somebody to hear somebody else preach, you hope they really get it on. You know what I mean? I mean, you say this guy's really great, you hope that he does a good job. And that night a big storm came. I mean, just raining, pouring, flooding. When it got to church, it wasn't nobody but the preacher and those two people, this guy and his friend. And he said, "You said this preacher is the most thankful man alive." Said, "We're about to see how thankful he is." No song leader, no music. He got up and said, "Well, let's start with prayer." He said, "God, this is one of the most terrible nights I've ever seen. The rain, the flood. Said, one of the worst storms I've ever been in." He said, "God, I thank you. It's not always like this." And you know, he found something to thank the Lord. And that's when real thanksgiving comes. Thanksgiving comes when it hurts the most. Any idiot can be thankful for good things. I mean, you're taught to say, "Thank you, thank you." I'll tell you when thanks is really a sacrifice. It's when it hurts. Matthew Henry came home one time and wrote in his diary. He didn't have much money, and he'd got robbed. Every cent he had. He came home and began to write in his diary. It said, "Date such and such, I was robbed." And then it came that he was to be thankful. He said, "I thank you, God, that I was robbed." He said, "I thank you, number one, I've never been robbed before." Amen. I mean, that's the first time. Something to be thankful about, amen. I was thankful that number two, though he took my money, he didn't take my life. Amen. And I'm thankful, number three, that though he took all I had, it still wasn't very much. And he said, I'm thankful, number four, that I was the one robbed and not the one doing the robbing. Thankful. Hurt. Well, I'll tell you what, please God. We please God by prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And not only that, we please God and we live with faith. Hebrews 11 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what that means? That means some of us ain't pleasing God very much. That means some of us are not pleasing the Lord the way he wants us to do. The Bible tells us three times, just shall live by faith. God thought so much of men that live by faith that he took one whole chapter in his Bible and dedicated it to men. You know what Hebrews 11, we call it the heroes of the faith. You know what it is? God praising man. I mean, that's God patting people on the back. You know why? Because those men lived by faith. Now you know,
When I talk about this, I tread very carefully. Because some of you come to realize, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to go by faith. I'm not going to work. See? I'll live with brother so-and-so. Now just pray God that he'll send the money in. Now see, that's not faith. That's stupidity. There am a thin line between faith and stupidity. And sad to say, many have crossed over the line never to return again. Some that brag about living in faith live in stupidity rather than faith. That doesn't mean God wants you to be lazy. It doesn't mean God wants you to be a bum. Not pay your way, not pay your bills, not go. But it means he wants you, when you've done all you can, to do right. And doing all you can to pay your bills and make your way. Then you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to take care of me. There's nothing else I can do, but you said you'll supply all of my need. God, supply it. I've worked. I prayed. Lord, I've got a family. You know I've got to have it. Now, Lord, I don't know where it's coming from. But I have confidence in you that you can do it. That's when the check comes in the mail. Amen. That's when the money is paid on your school bill. That's when somebody puts some money in your Bible. That's when those things come to pass, when you begin to live by faith. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to trust his word and to trust him and live by faith. The Bible said Abel, by faith, offered a more perfect sacrifice. How did Abel know that was the right sacrifice? Did he have a word like you and I to tell it? Yeah, nothing. You know what he did? He just believed God and he did it. How did Noah know he's doing the right thing in building the ark? How did he? The Bible said Noah moved with fear. Why did he do it? Don't you know he looked like an idiot? Don't you know he is the biggest laughing stock of his day? The world gazed at him and made fun of him. He said, Lord, I'm going to build this thing. You said to do it. I'm going to do it. Abraham called out into a land he didn't know where. Abraham called to a place that he didn't know where he was going. Yet God took care of him. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. You know what God said? They were men who were moved and lived by faith. Don't you want to be that kind of Christian? Don't you want to be a Christian that pleases God? Moses, when he was aged, refused the riches of Egypt. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? He had faith that God would take care of him. Sometimes God is going to put you in a place, in a situation, where you can't get out, just so you can learn to trust in him and have faith in him. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say it for the glory of God and nobody else. Okay? My boy told me the other day, he said, well, Daddy, you know, he said, this guy came to church and he's going to be a preacher. And he doesn't have but two suits. When he did that, my whole mind clicked back. A long time ago when I came to school, I didn't have a suit. I had one sports coat. That's all I had. It didn't fit. I came, I had everything that I owned in one suitcase. I had $120, thought I had the world by the tail. When I came here in 1965, I got a job making $30 a week. $30 a week. Oh, back in the Depression. But it was depressing, I'll tell you. Yes. I lived, when I got done each week, I think I had $3 or $4 to eat on all week long. I'm talking about $3 and $4. Not a day. I mean a week. I know what it is to walk with your shoes, and you can't buy no shoes. I know you think about it. Just pray that you can find some good, thick cardboard. Man, I wore holes in the bottom of my shoes. I'd be embarrassed when I'd pray.
I just kind of kneel like this, you know, and kind of keep my feet flat because big old holes in the bottom of those shoes. I guess I could have got help from a lot of people. No doubt there's some people who would have sent me money if all I'd have done was ask. But you know, when I was going through that, I never even thought the second time. I never even worried about it for 1 minute. I was so happy to be where God wanted me to be. I was so happy to be coming to Bible school and getting ready to preach the word. I didn't care if I had any earthly possessions whatever. And if God would show me this book and show me how to preach it and I could live by faith, I'd be the happiest human being alive. God showed me something. He's going to show it to you. He can take care of you. You can trust Him. You can have faith in Him. In the old pocketbook and there's nothing there, God will take care. If I had it all to do over again, I'd go right back through again. I wouldn't bat an eye. I wouldn't want to change. I wouldn't want anything else. You know why? God taught me that I'm going to have to walk in this life, no matter where I'm at and what I'm doing, by faith. Last of all, it pleases God when we accept His Son as our Savior. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, whatsoever you ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment. We should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Love one another as He gave us commandment. The Bible said we have those things when we do what pleases Him, when we obey His commandments. The Bible said this is His commandment. What is it? We should believe on the name of His Son. If you're lost, there's only one thing you can do to begin to please God, and that's accept His Son as your Savior. Nothing else you do will please Him. You can join a church and get baptized, do all the good works you want, do all the sacraments, you can do everything you want. But the first step to pleasing God is accepting His Son as your Savior. And until you do that, you won't be. The Bible said that the lost are enemies of God. They're aliens from God. They're strangers. The Bible said that a lost man is under the wrath of God. The Bible also says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God said, it doesn't please me send people to hell and see them die. He said, I'm pleased when they accept my Son as their Savior. Years ago in St. Louis, a Christian talked to a man who was a lawyer, some financial business. When they got finished, the Christian looked at the lawyer and said, I want to ask you a question. He said, all right. He said, I wonder why you aren't a Christian. The lawyer didn't know what to say. He hung his head and he said, well, I know enough about the Bible. The Bible says no drunkard will ever inherit the kingdom of God. And the guy said, you're avoiding the question. I asked you why you aren't a Christian. The lawyer says, I guess that nobody's just ever really taken the Bible. Show me how I can become a Christian. The guy said, would you like for me to? And he said, I will. He took this Bible and showed that lawyer how he could be a Christian and how he could be saved. And he said, would you like to pray that prayer and ask the Lord to save you? And he said, I would. And as he bowed his head to pray, he said, oh, Jesus, you know I'm a slave to drink. One of your servants has showed me how to be saved. Oh, God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life. Save me for Jesus' sake. And the lawyer said years ago, put it down. Write it down. And remember it. God broke the power of liquor over me from that day forward. And saved me. I've been a Christian ever since. His name was C.I. Scofield. The man who God used to write one of the best reference Bibles that Christians have ever used. God saved him. You know what that does? that pleases God when people accept His Son as their Savior. Who are you trying to please? Let's bow our heads. Now you ask that question to yourself, because that's going to depend on a lot that you're doing. Some of you are trying to please your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You're trying to please your friends. You're trying to please the people on the job. And all of that has its place and it's needful. But in the final analysis, all we do, we're to seek to be pleasing God. Listen, Christian, take some advice. That's good advice. Whatever you do, do it for God and for His sake alone. You'll never be sorry or never regret it. Who are you trying to please? You please God by preaching the gospel, walking in the Spirit, praise and thanksgiving by living by faith. If you're lost, you please Him by accepting His Son as your Savior. Could you say today, as Jesus did, "For I do always those things that please Him"? Do you have the testimony that Enoch had before his translation, his testimony that he pleased God? That's the testimony I want. If you're saved, that's what you want. If you're lost without Jesus Christ, what you need to do is accept God's Son as your Savior. That'll please Him. That'll satisfy Him. That'll meet the demands of the law and sin in your life. That'll meet the standard of righteousness. But until you do that, nothing will please Him. If you're lost, quit trying. All of the other things, look to Him. Father, bless the words of the message today. The Spirit of God bear witness to the truth. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What number are we singing? 252? 252 in your hymnal. You ask the question to yourself. Apply it to your own heart and apply it to your own life. Who are you trying to please? And then see if your life is being lived to please Him. If isn't, you come and kneel and pray. And if you're lost, you need to be saved. You want to please God? Accept His Son. Sing together. 252 on the first one. Only trust Him. Amen. Do what God have you to do, will you? Right now. Come on, will you?